Welcome to a forum with candidates running for the District 5 House seat in Tuesday's general election. Cordova Democrat Robert Beadle is challenging incumbent and Haines Republican Bill Thomas for the seat. House District 5 includes about two dozen small cities and villages from Cordova to Metlakatla. They include Skagway, Yakutat, Gustavus, Hoonah, Angoon, Tenneke, Craig, Klawock, Cake, and Edna Bay. Others are Excursion Inlet, Heidelberg, Hyder, Kasan, Klukwan, Naukety, Point Baker, Port Protection, and Whale Pass. I'm Ed Schoenfeld of Coast Alaska News, your host for this half-hour forum. The candidates' schedules did not allow them to sit down together, so they were interviewed separately. Thomas starts out by introducing himself.
First off, let people know I'm born and raised in Haines and graduated from Haines. Went to Vietnam in 68, came home, started fishing again, been fishing continuously 41 years. Married for 33 to Joyce. We have hers, mine, and ours kids. And got into politics in 1976 when I was lobbying in D.C. for the Claims Act and continued as a lobbyist. And about 6 years ago, I decided to become a legislator. So I've been in the legislature 6 years now and enjoy it. I got great staff. And that's one of the reasons I'm running again, is that more time you spend there, it gets easier. And it was easy from the start because I already had the experience.
I know one of the biggest issues in House District 5 communities is the economy, and it's in pretty rough shape. I don't need to tell you that, especially with small communities. Name two or three things as a legislator you do to help the region's villages.
One of the things I've done already is HB 152, is Renewable Energy Fund, is helping the communities to fund and build hydros to get their energy costs down. Cordova is eligible for, I believe, several million. I won't say how much there. And then Gustavus got some money. And Heidelberg has gotten money to expand the hydro needs for the Prince of Wales. And some different other communities got grants for research of hydros and wind energy. So we've been working on the energy issue here already. And the other one is, I had a fish and game budget, and we put a person in charge of overseeing the hatcheries because they were very dependent upon hatchery fish, and we want to make sure that the returns and hatchery fish continue to come back. So, and construction, maintenance, a lot of the communities, roads, and buildings were in disarray, and so we've been working with them to rebuild.
Do you think there's anything that can be done by the legislature to help boost small communities' fisheries, the fishing economy?
I think we did last year. We extended the piece of legislation that I introduced on the House and Senator Stedman on the Senate, and I got mine through before he did. So it was my efforts to, but we worked together, and it was the extension of the salmon production tax, which goes back to the producers when they processors when they put in value-added product lines, and several of those have. Then this year we added ice. Ice machines will be a deductible item to increase the quality of the salmon. So a little bit at a time, we've been looking around, see what it is that we can do. And fisheries was one thing that binds them all, with the exception of Skagway.
Is there anything that the legislature can do in terms of helping what's left of the timber economy, or is that even something the legislature should be involved in?
I believe that the Department of Natural Resources under Governor Murkowski was doing that, and they took the state forest timber and made it available to the mills here in Southeast. I know that we have made efforts in trying to encourage and bring the timber industry along. It's very vital to the Prince of Wales economy. They have the one big mill probably in my whole district is at Prince of Wales. And we have one in Hoonah, and it employs 12 people there. So that's a big part of it. But I wish they'd let the mills have their allowable cut that they need to be going along and keep working, because they're very important to the economy.
Are there loan programs or things maybe tied into the wood biomass efforts or the young growth harvests that you think the state can do anything to help with?
Well, actually, the biomass, it's almost like two different issues. Several years ago, I had a friend of mine come in from Tok and wanted a whole log chipper because they were thinning the trees around Tok and Delta and making fire breaks. And so I helped him, along with Representative Salmon, to, because I was in finance, still am, to get a whole log chipper for that community, other communities up there. And that it took advantage of the biomass that the state forestry was cutting down. And I believe they're heating some of their schools up there now with that. So also in the Renewable Energy Fund, there are biomass grants. If you put a program together, you can get money to put furnaces together.
Let's talk about some other energy projects. There are pushes coming from yourself and from other Southeast lawmakers and regional officials for a number of dam and lake tap projects and also power lines. Which should be funded first?
Our next priority, and we're working with Southeast Conference, is the CAKE Petersburg Intertie. And that's the next one. And we're also looking at Metlakatla to Ketchikan. So they're all, to us, they're all a priority. And it's the community efforts that are telling us what they want, and we work with them.
There's a lot of talk of alternative energy projects, things other than hydro or diesel. Are there any particular alternative energy projects that aren't already going that you think hold promise in Southeast in your district?
Yeah, we have some windometers, I guess is what you call them, out there trying to test the wind in several communities now to see if that is an option. But they're very spendy. They put up the wind generators. The other one is thermal energy, and people are looking, and I believe it's in the Hoonah area where IPEC, the Inner Island Passage Electric Co-op, is looking for thermal energy over there. But the other communities, some of them have hydro nearby, with the exception of CAKE. So that's going back to the other option. The other one is that the Renewable Energy Fund doesn't allow for emerging technology. I'm speaking as the legislature, didn't want to spend our money on emerging technology and concentrated more on proven technology such as wind and hydro.
Let's talk about a couple of the road projects either in or that would reach communities in your district. There's certainly been a lot of talk of the CAKE Petersburg Road going along with the grid, with the intertie there. And also there's the continued effort to build a road from Juneau North, which would maybe not directly connect to Haines and Skagway, but put a ferry terminal much closer to them and shorten that trip. How do you feel about those two projects, and which one is the priority?
Working with Southeast Conference, the priority probably would be CAKE Petersburg, because the road and the intertie would be hand in hand, and so we need the road to maintain the intertie so we don't run into the problem that the CEPRA, this is the intertie down here, ran into, where we may not get permits, and it took them a while to get the permits to maintain the intertie here. So I think my priority would be the CAKE Petersburg Road and the hydro. The Juneau Access, we call it. Mind you, I was born and raised in Haines, and for years in my younger days, I've watched survey crews work on the west side of Lynn Canal. And I fish Lynn Canal, and I look at the mountains, and I say, boy, that'll be a feat in itself of building the road on the east side. And if you're going to build a terminal in the north, then you might as well put one in St. James Bay and go up the west side, opening up some of the borough lands, state lands, and federal lands and drive up the west side and come across on a bridge up, it'd be by the airport or north of the airport in Haines.
You're listening to A Forum with candidates running for the District 5 House seat. We just heard from incumbent and Haines Republican Bill Thomas, and we'll hear more from him. Next is Cordova Democrat Robert Beadle, who starts out by introducing himself.
I'm Robert Beadle. I'm born and raised in Cordova. I have a wife and four kids of 22 years. I'm a 35-year commercial fisherman. I own a refrigeration business. I'm on the city council in Cordova and a member of the Cordova Telephone Co-op. I'm a member of my local Cordova District Fishermen's United. And I also serve on a rapid response fleet for oil response.
And why did you decide to run for the District 5 House seat?
Well, over the years, with year after year, high cost of fuel just keeps going up. I see our ferry system, it's the same thing. We don't know when we're going to have it, when they're going to pull it for maintenance or deferred maintenance. Our fisheries, we get a lack of funding. We need science-based management. It's all lacking. It's like a broken record year after year. It's time for a change, and I want to be part of that change.
You talked about the cost of fuel. What would you do as a legislator to address that?
Well, it's amazing that we have all this fuel in Alaska, and then we pay to import it back up here, just like a lot of other of our products. We ship them out, and they're value added in other parts of the country or the world, and then ship back. I'd like to see things processed and done here, make them less expensive.
Do you think the state should build fuel refining capacity or provide grants or other support for the private sector to do that?
I'd sure like to see them look into it. We need to do something. The system we have now isn't working. Everything you see has a fuel service charge added to it. You know, maybe we need to look into alternative energies, other ways to heat our homes, power. You know, we have all this gas, natural gas. We need to push harder for use in-state instead of exporting it, refining it, then bringing it back in, and then we're going to pay a fuel service charge on that. So I'd like to see more in-state.
And you talked about people not being able to know when the ferry is coming and going, when the when maintenance is going to take place. The ferry system does post its schedule months in advance. It's been more and more in advance. That includes the maintenance schedules. Are you saying they're not following that, or that you're just not aware that that information's available?
No, I see the schedule, and they're doing a lot better. They're getting pressure. I see the winter schedule is out. You know, they're doing a great job that way. But I still, just traveling throughout the district, there is improvements. We need more ferries. We're talking about building some new ferries, but they're talking about shipping them to Louisiana or down America to get built. We have a great facility in state. I could see jobs in our region here for years to come that there again where we don't have to export our dollars and our resources. We could do it in state here, keep the money in state, let it circulate a while.
Are you talking about the Ketchikan shipyard there when you talk about building it in state?
Yes, that would be a great location. They've just got some more land. As I've went through Ketchikan, I went by the place and took it. I mean, they've got the boats there anyway. The ships are working on them now anyway. These guys know what to do, and it's in state. The money will stay here, and the jobs will stay here. It'd be a great boom to the local economy, and then we'd have the ferries that could replace ferries when they get pulled out for service. We wouldn't have to have month-long interruptions. We could have a consistent schedule. It'd be easier for them to schedule. So, yeah, I'd love to see it done locally.
The problem with putting Alaska Preference in bidding, and the ferry system tried to do this, is then you lose the federal funding. Do you think it's worth losing the federal money to put that in-state preference in the contracts?
You know, I do. The more I think about it, the more that the dollars have come to Alaska and circulate through Alaska, that $60 million, I know in Cordova the multiplier is like six. When the dollar comes into the community, paying wages, buying groceries, you know, it creates more employment. I think the benefit in the long term would way outweigh the shipping our money outside again.
So it's taken a number of years to get the 60 or so million in state money there, and folks were hoping to start building that Alaska class ferry pretty soon. How would you get the rest of the money out of the legislature?
You know, I see a lot of, we have corporate lobbyists in there fighting for, I imagine there's a huge contingent from out-of-state shipbuilders, and I'd focus on what the people needed in state here. And, you know, it might cost us a few more bucks, but I think in the long run it'll be way more beneficial to the state.
You talked about a couple things there that could help the economies. The smallest communities are the ones that are hardest hit. What things other than what we've talked about would you do as a legislator?
Well, there again, the energy costs. We've got some pretty good hydro projects going. I'd like to expand. We have other renewable energy projects. There's a lot of them out there that we could use, and why aren't we? Make it affordable to live in the villages. I'd like to see our fisheries management science-based, not emotion. I'd like to keep it out of the politics. I'd like to keep it out of the courts. Give them something to keep going, or renewable. The fisheries is Alaska's original permanent fund. I'd like to keep it going. Let people be able to live and grow in smaller communities. The ferry system, it's huge. It's important. It is our road to the world, our economy. So I would support very hard the energies, the ferry system, and sensible science-based fisheries management.
Tell me a couple things you would do as a lawmaker to improve the commercial fisheries in the district.
Well, there again, the funding for fisheries management. So let the Board of Fish, the Board of Game, it's not a totally perfect, but it's an awesome system. The stakeholders have a huge voice in it. They have ownership. The people that use it and care about it get to help decide and manage it. But then with Fish and Game, with sufficient funding, I've seen too much in the past where if they don't have funding, they can't do the research, they shut the fishery down. So allowing them to do their job could promote longevity of the fishery.
So you would increase funding for the Department of Fish and Game so there'd be more folks there to do the research?
Not only more folks, but, you know, the equipment they need, the time in the field to do the research, you know, do their surveys.
You've talked several times about alternative energy options. What would you pursue, and how would you go about funding it?
Well, right now the state has a $75 million fund for renewable energy projects. What I'd do is I'd encourage communities, depending on their location. Some of the communities here in the southeast have awesome lakes that would be fantastic for hydro projects. So in places where we could encourage renewable energy projects that are friendly to the environment, least invasive. But some places have wind power. There's tidal power. We're just addicted to oil, and we need to start changing now. This oil is a finite product.
Do you think tidal power is technically ready for some projects in southeast Alaska? What I'm hearing is it's still quite a few years from really being something that, you know, they figured out how to make to work.
You know, my father-in-law is great. He's got some sayings. He says, you don't do the last thing first. You know, if we keep sitting around waiting for the best ever and the final one, we'll never get started. And we need to get started to know what we need. There's hundreds of different projects, different thoughts and ideas, and each region you might have different currents, different tidal strengths. So something that might not work someplace else that someone throws aside, it might be the idea for Haynes.
So you think the state is being too conservative at looking at tidal power options?
You know, I'm not sure. I think it's like anything new. People are a little leery and stuff. We need somebody to step up and push for it. Appoint somebody to start looking at this, digging in deeper to it.
You're listening to a forum with the District 5 House seat candidates. We just heard from Cordova Democrat Robert Beadle, and we'll hear more from him. Next, incumbent and Haines Republican Bill Thomas answers some more questions. Let's talk about legislative organization. You've been on the Finance Committee as vice chairman. If you're reelected, will you try to stay on finance, try for another position?
No, I'm hoping to stay on finance, and the phones are buzzing, you know, people saying they want this and other people want that, and I've been pretty happy in finance, and we got to see who moves around or tries to. If they do, an opportunity knocks, and then I would try for the co-chair. If I don't get co-chair, hopefully just stay on finance. And it comes with time and experience, and you get more time in there, and you attract better staff.
What sort of organization do you think the House is going to have this year? Bipartisan, Republican only? How do you think that's going to work?
Last year we had several of the members of the Bush caucus, Democrats, joined us, and I think you'll see that again. I think that they were happy. They worked well with us, and I think you'll probably see the same. I don't think you'll see half D's and half R's. I think you'll see majority of the R's and with a few of the Bush Democrats joining like they did last year.
Now, have you had any face-to-face meetings with your opponent, Robert Beadle, the Democrat from Cordova, or any of those planned debates or forums or anything?
No, I've never talked to him or never debated him. I've met him twice. We've not had any debates, but we have much in common other than we're both fishermen, and the difference is I have 20 years of lobbying experience and 6 years as in the legislative body, and people have to realize that it takes at least 2 terms to learn the process, and this is one place that experience counts.
One of the things that's happened, I think, since the last election was you were appointed to the Sea Alaska Board of Directors, and do you see any conflicts there? Are there issues that you have to stay away from due to your role on the Sea Alaska Board?
I haven't run into any. I have to declare every once in a while if something does come up, and we watch that very closely on the floor. And I think I haven't run into anything that would stop me from doing my job at the Alaska level. So, you know, so far, I think we had an oyster debate, and Sea Alaska was getting into the oyster farming, and they brought that up, and they objected, and so I voted because I think they may have benefited somehow, some way on the oyster bill, but you have to watch it, and that's all you have to do to declare the conflict.
Are there any bills you have in mind to introduce or reintroduce this year if you're reelected?
Yeah, we have a couple in my mind. Last year, we passed the military child custody bill, which allowed it, and what that does, the military who's being deployed back then was Iraq, Afghanistan, the courts would accelerate and have their child in custody hearings while they're in country here before they're deployed, and they have to move the date up so that they're present, or else to do it electronically or give the power to their parents. What we're going to do this year is one of the bills we're looking at is looking at the military retirement, making it not eligible for if you get divorced, you cannot lose your retirement. I had a lieutenant colonel write me a letter and say that she's in the process of a divorce and it cost her half of her salary because she can't dip into like a 401k plan. She has to pay off the her spouse, and so we're looking at that, and I do sit on I'm the co-chair of the Veterans Caucus also, so we try to do a lot of veteran issues there. The other one I had is I went to a couple of funerals in the last several years for troopers who had died and they retired, and I thought it was kind of a shame that we didn't have and it's not a big thing to some people, it was to me because maybe I'm past military. We always have a military guard there. I think we should have a trooper present when a trooper dies. I mean, these guys get shot at, they put their life on the line, and I think it'd be just nice to have a trooper there, so we're going to put that in for a trooper to be present at the funerals in Alaska. I think it's more respect, and we're looking at see what we can do after the Hoonah incident, and we'll see what we can help them in some legislation that they're looking at.
You're listening to a forum with District 5 House seat candidates. We just heard from incumbent and Haines Republican Bill Thomas. We'll finish up by asking some more questions of Cordova Democrat Robert Beadle. If you win the election, what committees would you try to be part of?
Oh, definitely fisheries. And then I want to chair the finance committee also.
And that, I take it from your laugh, you know, is a fantasy for a first-time lawmaker.
Hey, I'm here to represent District 5. I'm going to go for the best I can. I'm going to push hard. Going in there and say I'm going to be on the janitor committee ain't going to cut it. That's not where I'm headed, and that's not why I'm running. I'm going to ask for it. I'm going to push hard for it.
You're running as a Democrat. The Republicans have held the House for quite a few years. They sometimes invite some Democrats in. Would you join a Republican majority as a minority member, or would you stay with the Democratic minority organization?
There's a bunch of answers there. We're not so sure that this next round is going to be a Republican majority, so that could change things. And what I would have to do, there's some, bipartisan groups here working together to help Alaskans. I guess basically I'd do what District 5 wanted. I would go in there if it was to District 5's benefits to stay in the Democratic minority and push hard that way, that's where I'll be. If it's to District 5's benefit that I helped with Republicans, I'd be right there.
If you're elected, what would be the first one or two bills you'd introduce?
My opponent, he was a lobbyist for years, representing our district now. He gets a lot of funding from corporations. So probably one of the first things I'd do is I'd like to limit corporate lobbying. I'd like our representation to be for the people, not for the corporate world. I'd like to limit corporate lobbying. I'd like to have the people have a say in what's going on, what we need, not what's good for the corporate shareholder in America and the international companies, but what's good for the people here in District 5.
And let's talk a little more about your opponent. Why should people vote for you and not for him? What's wrong with Bill Thomas?
Years and years he's been a corporate lobbyist. He's lobbyist for corporations, industry, and he slid into the as a representative, and by who he gets contributions from and his voting record, he's voting for industry. The people I've talked to throughout the district, they're a little disappointed his stand on corporations. I think if he could represent the people more, I probably wouldn't be here. So I think it's time for a change. I think the people need a voice, not corporations.
You've been listening to a forum with District 5 House candidates Robert Beadle, a Cordova Democrat, and Bill Thomas, a Haines Republican. They'll both be on Tuesday's general election ballot for residents of District 5. That includes Cordova, Metlakatla, Skagway, Yakutat, Gustavus, Hoonah, Angoon, Tenneke, Craig, Kloak, Cake, and Edna Bay. This program was produced with help from Deanna Garrison at KRBD in Ketchikan and Tara Bicknell at KHNS in Haines. This is Ed Schoenfeld of Coast Alaska News. Thanks for listening.